Hello, this is the Tribe Stories, the curated sermons, conversations, and collections of poetry of the Tribe Lagos. The Tribe Lagos is a gospel expression based in the city of Lagos, committed to reaching the next generation with the message of God's love and grace. May this refresh and revive you as you listen.
Today we're talking about from religion to spirituality, and I think it's a very important topic. And if you don't know the difference, you probably might not even experience the fullness of life, or you will probably think you're having the real deal, but you're not quite. I don't know if anybody here knows anybody that's a friend or sibling or relative of yours who have stopped going to church. Anyone? Oh my goodness, seems like the whole church. But could you really just mention one reason why they stopped? Yeah. Okay, why did you stop? I like that it's you now. Why did you stop? Please give her the mic. So we're going to make it a bit interactive. It's more teaching, but I'll do a bit of interaction as we go ahead.
I stopped because I felt stuck. And I was speaking to my pastor about it, but she thought I wanted to leave, like abscond. And she started prophesying, so COVID happened. I ended it there.
Yeah.
But my cousin connected me to Mold Break, and I followed Mold Break and dropped church until of recent, I felt, no, I should find my place in the body of Christ, which I'm still trying to. But so far now, it's about connecting more often online because of my line of work. And at the same time, enjoy the flow as God gives revelations, because I think I got so much for myself in the place of study, and I was not hearing it. So I was having contradictions, kind of, because I was not feeling
I think
feeling
the
it.
Point I wanted to make was you felt stuck.
Yes.
And that's part of it. Ify, can you do yours in 30 seconds? Thank you for that contribution.
So he stopped going because he didn't see the power. So he tried for whatever that was. You know, when you go to church like all
power
the time,
was not changing
you read,
hand.
Yeah, like, and he went to a church that was Calvinist. They said that the move of God was dead.
Cedition, so
it was the written word, and it wasn't changing his life. So eventually, he just stopped.
Okay, anybody wants to add to this too? Feeling stuck, there wasn't enough power. You understand?
There's a lot of protocol. Don't do this. Don't wear this. Don't come like this. And I personally had a problem with tying my hair.
Okay.
And I went to Catholic Church, so there's stuff
all right,
like that.
So that's house where mostly rules. We'll come over to this side, but let's... Who is plugging in? Oh, okay, Ikemba. Let's take Ikemba, then we'll move over here.
So, mine is this young guy. We used to go to the same church before trying.
Why did he stop?
It's not just that he stopped coming to church, it's that he stopped believing in God.
Okay, he's always deeper.
So recently he's been, every time I put up a post on social media, he's always coming at me. So yesterday night I didn't have his energy at all. And I just told him, how about we hang out in church today? Can you come to the Tribe? Baba has all responded. I'm looking around hoping he's somewhere.
Baba, he's somewhere.
Or he's watching. But then I think that the reason why he stopped going to church or believing in God altogether is that he just got tired of the activity.
Okay, got burnt out.
Yeah.
But burnt out does not make you not believe. But let's just hold. Burnt out, stuck, no power, too much rules. Isaac.
No. So I was even like speaking to the person yesterday, and the person said that it's just tired of the pastors.
Tired of pastors?
Yes.
I don't understand them.
Such
a stray bullet flying around this morning. Yeah. All right, but I think understandably, maybe you've experienced a disconnect from hot from a pastor is understandable. Although that's a two-way street. That's what people don't tell you. But let's keep at it. So anybody else wants to add? Abraham.
So I have a couple of guys who actually stopped going to church. They're up to 10. they're just tired of customized religion.
They're just tired
of the customized religion. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, guys, we actually started by stating that there's a difference between religion and spirituality. And I think it's important to make that distinction here. Because the word religion actually came from origin. The origin of the word is religie. And religie means connection. Actually, religion started by seeking connection to God. That was how religion started. Now, what then happened was over the years, across centuries, religion has gathered meaning. And what religion means today is more an institutional frame of belief. So it's more an institution that you subscribe to, right, than the need for connection. So that some people have subscribed to religion and then they quite do not have connection, right? And so the importance between understanding religion, religion and spirituality are quite close but separate when you begin to look at the outcome of both experiences. And I would like to say that people will tell you things like, when they say feel your faith, you say Christianity. And some Christians will tell you that Christianity is not a religion. But quite frankly, you will be making a hasty conclusion if you say that. Because if we say Christianity is not a religion, you're actually bundling Christianity into one. And Christianity is a spectrum of beliefs. Right? There is all kinds of denomination under Christianity. So we cannot now say Christianity is not a religion, but I can actually say in Christianity, there is actually religion and there's spirituality. So you have to make the distinction. What is Christian religion and what is Christian spirituality? And then when you begin to understand, you know, Christ made a very, very sweeping statement that has become the bane of many beliefs today. He said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what that meant for many of us for many years is that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And so if you are not a Christian, you are not in the way. And then so at the end of the day, when he was making this statement, but I must say, there was no Christianity. Yeah. Christianity came long after he had made that statement. You understand? So when we interpret it, keep context. When he was making that statement, there was no Islam. So if at all the way is actually identifying as a Christian, then we are... There's something missing. You have to go back in time. There was actually, he wasn't even saying it in the context of religion versus religion. He was actually stating it in the context of grace versus law. That's what he was referring to. And then in law, it was man's effort to attain God or reach God or satisfy God. Grace was God's effort to reach man. You understand? So that's the first thing first. Spirituality now becomes your personal experience of God that is an internal reality. Not necessarily that you believe. So you can actually be in church and not be spiritual, right? And yet you can actually be spiritual and not be in church. So we must first of all expand our understanding of spirituality, understanding of religion. So I'm going to paint three pictures, right, and tell you how it works. So in the world today, I would break it down that there are basically three types of people, right, just for the purpose of this meeting. So I would say the secular world. In context of the secular world, these are people who are not necessarily subscribed to any type of religion. Some of them can be superstitious. Superstitious means that God is almost non-existent. So you can find people like the atheists and the agnostics here, right? Whether God exists is not a thing for them. So the secularists, they are here. Then you now have what I call the religious folks, right? And then I will now say what we have then, what I call spirituality. And under this spirituality, I would say particularly we'll talk about it in the context of Christianity, because spirituality in itself is a wide word, right? It's a wide word. So you can actually even find that there are some Buddhists that are spiritual. They tell you spirituality. I told you how I met somebody the other day and we were just trying to jive or vibe. I was like, are you spiritual? Spiritual. Like, and then she entered, she was practicing this astral travel things. And I was like, no, I'm not explored, right? At the end of the day, so when you say spirituality, you also have to be careful. The point again is that these things, people who do stargazing, I actually would say this because we have an identity crisis as Christians. Christianity is suffering from an identity crisis. First of all, that's why John Barra's testimony is important. I remember he was telling me once that he went for an interview, he couldn't speak. I was like, you understand? Like, how can you not speak? You understand? You understand? But he was coming into sonship. Because this sonship diet is kind of new to some of us. What we believed along was that we were beneath, unqualified for anything good. So in your subconscious has been laid layers of unworthiness. And that unworthiness is programming you to settle for less. But we will come to that. So in this secular world, right, it's very interesting how they actually tend to think. So what differentiates Christian spirituality from pretty much all of this spectrum is the understanding of who is living in you and how you're living your life. In this place, in the secular world, you're actually living yourself for yourself. I am living my life for me. So you don't subscribe to anything other than just, okay, I'm making my effort, I'm making progress, I'm putting myself into work. So that's what it is. But once you come into religion, religion now tells you something, and that's the one most of us have known for the longest time. We transition from living for self, self for yourself, to now living yourself for God. So in this place, you're living yourself for God. So in this, everything you do is like you're as an usher for God. You are a tither for God. So all of this place is actually, and this place is not very different from this place. Forget that here is self and here is God. Here, the challenge is that what is fundamental denominator in these two worlds is that it is rooted in your effort. So in this effort, once the origin is you, the outcome is self. The outcome is law. So even when they transition from here to this place and got born again and gave their lives and ended up in church, their lives were a treadmill of performance. Because they were always about attaining righteousness, attaining religion, attaining everything. So your spirituality was yours to attain. Now, Christian spirituality is not you living your life for God. That's the first deconstruction we have to establish here. It is actually the understanding that God himself is living his life in you, for you, through you, as you. So it ends effort. What we now talk about here is surrender into the expression of the life. The life is not yours to bloom. It manifests, you surrender to it. And it says, except a tree dies, he abides alone. It's inviting us to understand that the life you now have, the destination of that false life is kill it so that the real life can come out. Right? So in this place, you're living, God is living his life through you. God is living his life through you. Right? So keep that in mind. In Christian spirituality, you're a living presence. There is an abiding presence that has come to invade you and live in you. And we are going to talk about that living presence, but let's dive into our scripture for today. So I started on Wednesday to talk about the case of two wells. Who is our reader? So we're going to go to John 4. We're starting from verse 5. Someone with an eloquent voice. Sonorous, if it's possible. Isaac, please, don't attempt. Who is there? Some people are waiting for visa. But guys, I will tell you, enjoy your life while the visa comes. This is the time to ask Pastor Fred, are you available for lunch? Blow your last cash. You won't be needing the naira after all. So just to have that loaded naira, just use it and say, Pastor Fred, let's talk about life in London. There might be a calling. And trust me, the revelation is stronger when we're having dinner. So tell me about, is this central London? So don't waste time. If you're waiting for visa, enjoy your life. Don't be looking at your email. So guys, go to the next.
5.
Yes, 5.
Okay. Jesus arrived at the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Worried by his long journey, he sat on the edge of Jacob's well and sent his disciples into the village to buy food.
So guys, if you pause for a second, what I want you guys to sort of focus here. First of all, he was sitting by the well. So the first water, the first metaphor we're pulling out from this scripture is the well of Jacob, Jacob's well. I'll do a bit of a deep dive. Keep reading.
And sent his disciples into the village to buy food, for it was already afternoon. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." She replied, "Why would a Jewish man ask a Samaritan woman for a drink of water? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus replied, "If you only knew who I am and the gift of God, and the gift that God wants to give to you, you'd ask me for a drink, and I would give you living water." The woman replied, "But sir, you don't even have a bucket, and the well is very deep. So where do you find this living water? Do you really think that you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it himself, along with his children and livestock?"
Jesus answered, "If you drink from Jacob's well, you'll be thirsty again. But if anyone drinks the living water I give them, they will never be thirsty again. For when you drink the water I give you, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit, flooding you with endless life."
Okay, let's pause there. So first of all, there are two streams or two wells that the Bible is giving us here. The first well is the well of Jacob, right? And the second well is a well that is located within you. I actually think this scripture is a case of religion and spirituality. So I'm going to use it as an example to profile what it means to have the well of Jacob and the well water garden that is inside of you. So what you find is that in this context of religion, right, there is the water, but the water is external to you. So your experience of God has to be outside the location, right? So the way you feel connected to God is going to camp or going to Shiloh or going to mountain or going to nature or going to somewhere spiritual. Or sometimes you feel like the way you actually contact power is looking for someone more powerful than you who prophesies and speaks the word. So you outsource your power to the mountain, to the people, and your deepest expression of God is when you're there. Now that is what it meant. The well of Jacob is external to you. But guess what spirituality is? That's what Jesus came to deconstruct. The first thing Jesus Christ said was, he said, "See, if you've seen me, you've seen my what? Father." So what he did was to banish the idea of a distant or absent God and then bring God right where inside of you. So that the definition of Christianity is God is living inside of you as you for you. But more importantly, he's never absent. So you are not empty of something. You carry something. Living from that presence inside of you is what we are called to do. Now, he actually said, when you keep reading, if you go to the part where he now started talking about they that worship him must worship me in spirit and in truth. Keep going.
Okay. Should I read it or just skip to that part?
Just skip to that part.
Jesus responded, "Believe me, dear woman, the time has come when you worship the Father, neither on a mountain."
So pause. I need us to process what he's saying. She said, "You Jews like to worship in Jerusalem. We, the Samaritans, go to the mountain." And Jesus was saying, the time has come where it's not about a place, but it's about the heart. So just keep going.
You will not worship the Father on the mountain nor in Jerusalem, but in your hearts. Your people don't really know the one they worship, but we Jews worship out of our experience, for it is from the Jews that salvation is available. From now on, worshiping the Father will not be a matter of the right place, but with the right hearts. For God is a spirit, and he longs to have sincere worshipers who adore him in the realm of the spirits and in truth.
So there is something very interesting here. This word comes out twice, heart. Now, why this is very challenging for many of us is we've never learned to live from the heart. We live in a world that is programmed by the mind. So you and I have no clue, including me holding the mic on a level, right? Have no clue what it means to live from the heart. All we've spent our lives doing is living from the mind. But the mind was never given to us to master, lead us. The mind was given to serve us. So this entire civilization, this entire construct of the world is a mind mechanism. And more often than not, the mind is programmed for duality. So there is so many things that are complex. The mind is not wrong, but the mind is inadequate to articulate you. The mind is not necessarily a bad thing, but the mind is insufficient to guide you. Inside you was actually placed the river of water that you and I meant to live from, but we are in the water yet we are thirsty because we are seeking the water outside. So when you go to school, they first of all orient you. The definition that you began with was biology. So you were told that you were your bodies, right? And then we started from evolution and everything. So just don't think you've moved past that. You haven't quite moved past that. On a day-to-day basis, you think yourself first as a body before anything else. But you're not actually a body. You're a spiritual being having a human experience. You're not a human being who oftentimes gets spiritual. Is the flip side, you're a spiritual being having a human experience. So the core of your being is a heart, is a spirit. But this heart is actually not just the biological heart. The heart here speaks of dimensions of realms and possibilities. This heart that the Bible is talking about here is a spiritual organ. This heart that the Bible is talking about here is actually what he refers to as that's where the Holy Spirit dwells. So the heart is your shrine. The heart is actually your altar. So inside of you is a temple waiting to service you. Inside of you is a temple written with the code of your destiny, that if you can be led from your heart, you will achieve more in life than you can be led from your head. The head is the problem of the world today. All that we're dealing today with is head conception. From once you start with the head is misconception. So think of the heart. What Jesus Christ now came to do was to redefine. He kept saying that the Father is seeking worshipers, not them that will worship in mountains or in location, but that will discover the heart place as worship. So he's saying that that is the true worship. And so what does it even mean to worship from the heart? And how does that translate for us day to day in how we make our decisions and how we live our lives? So first of all, here is external to you. Here is actually internal reality. So your spirituality is in source, is a deposit. Is God dwelling inside of you? So guess what? If for any reason you fail to realize what you carry, you will never open it. Why Tobra was telling us here about sonship is that he's entering into power. This heart has many metaphors. One of the metaphors of the heart is actually called the place where the Holy Spirit dwells, the dwelling place of God, the indwelling presence of God. We've taught it here. This heart actually has three things. The heart is a source. So what God did when God created man, God did not just breathe something into man. God entered man and found an expression. So it wasn't so much that man was a place where God dwells, but man was God with his skin. Track with me. Man was God with his skin. That's what the word became flesh. The word did not become flesh to cease to become God. That's why he said that you must have this mind that was also in Christ. That though he took on flesh, he did not consider his divinity as something he stole. He knew that he was as divine. And that is the mystery, because when Christ came, Christ was not about religion, guys. Christ came to show us something. You know what he came to do? He came to show us the living presence inside of us. So Christ started this whole thing called Christianity by saying, God dwells in you. But many of us pedestalized Christ. What that meant was that we put him on the pedestal. We never woke up to the Christ in us. I told you, Jesus is not his son name. Jesus was the dimension of his heart that he lived from. So he lived from the Christ dimension. And you must step into it. If not, Christianity will be religion for you. So how do you come in? When you swim into the heart, sometimes some people say, come up to higher consciousness. Or they say, fall inward. Whether it is falling inward or swimming up, it's actually the same dimension they're talking about. You're escaping the mind into a dimension of power. So what Christ came to do was to reveal man to man. Christ was God's full disclosure to man. And Christ was God's full disclosure of man to man. So if it took the death of Christ to redeem man, at the core of man was divinity. So the point was that Christ, every man today carries divinity. The only thing that cannot handle your divinity is religion. Religion needs you to be less. In religion, religion has a low opinion of you. Religion was designed to have a low opinion of you. Spirituality was designed to have a high opinion of you. Because how does it come and tell you that, see, God dwells in your heart and God is never absent? These people, day by day, they live God absent lives. In this place, God is there. They don't care whether God is there or not there. This is the illusion of absence, permanent illusion of absence. It's not so much that God is absent, it's that they think he is absent. Yeah. Or it's not so much that God is absent, they are not just present to the fact that he's present. You understand? So here, God is in every man. You and I don't have the monopoly of his presence. We are just privileged of consciousness to know that we carry him. In this particular place, unfortunately, they have an idea that God comes, but some of them feel that he leaves. So, I lost, he's gone. I got greedy at work, he's gone. So for every day, they think that God, they need to now fill up again, look for God. Their understanding is that God takes a break or goes on sabbatical. So that's part of why, for them, prayer is an activity. So if you enter here, there's a different definition for every concept in Christianity. In this world, you know what prayer is? Prayer is an activity to achieve connection. What is prayer in this block? Prayer is an activity from connection. So you're not praying to connect. You're praying because you're connected. You understand? What is worship? In this place, worship is a program. It's something you do at that point in the service where the choir will come and lead us. But in this place, worship is a consciousness of the heart that stays aware of the presence that it carries. And that is a holy place because the Holy God dwells. Now, what is everything you define? What is born again? Born again is sinner's prayer. That's what it is. Yeah, born again is stop seeing from the head and start seeing from the heart. It's actually called metanoia, or it's called repentance. It's not a sad cry that you cry and give your life to Christ. It's that you stop seeing this way and start seeing this way. It is about taking on a new perspective and processing reality from a different lens. That's what born again is. So at the end of the day, anything you give me now, if you put it here, what is grace? Here they'll tell you grace is unmerited favor. You understand? It's always about making you less. Because God is not here all the time in their thinking. So in this particular world, you are the dwelling place. You carry source. The Father has found expression in you. So what does that mean? You're not absent. You're not lacking anything. Everything you need is already deposited inside of you. So what is what is success? In this place, success is something, if you define success here, it is setting up a goal, pursuing the goal, and achieving the goal. Something like that. Well, if you picture the future, you can feature, it is yours. What is success here? Success is actually the unveiling, the expression of your divinity in every moment. It is not something that you attain, it's who you are. Success now, so if you're here, people keep chasing success. So the way they do it, they think it's in another job. They sometimes jump. They even think it's another country. That's thinking. They think it's another job. They think it's another country. Now, once you put anything outside of you, you've bought into a lie. Because in the Bible, Jesus said, guess what? All power in heaven and on earth has been given to what? You. He actually said, if you believe in your heart and you say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, the mountain will obey. How come? He said, greater works I do, shall you do. What did they hear before? How on earth did we settle for any of these things? He said, see, Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Because it's not, and yet condemnation is coming in through the back door. He's saying that, see, my thoughts towards you are thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you hope and a future. Where did you get the point that you have no future? Religion made you less so that I can keep coming back to seek it because he needs retail customers. Don't be a subscriber. Uninstall that app fast. It's not taking you anywhere. So everything you define, even if you define anything you define, it takes on a whole new meaning because separation is the program here. Right. Here, God is somewhere. God is outside of you. You need to find him. Here, God dwells in you. You need to come home to God in you. And begin to pray with the consciousness that where you are, God is. See, guys, take this from me. If you are feeling that you are not earning enough, if you're feeling like your health or your marriage or relationship is not adding up, it's not on God. No. He has done it, though. Yes. It's whether you will collect. You are responsible for the state of your life. And the first thing is the ignorance you've bought into is why you're where you are. When you raise your consciousness, your life will adjust to that new understanding. So God placed power inside of you. He said, he has not given. So the heart, the mind of the heart is the mind of Christ. And he said he has given us three things in the mind: power, love, and sound mind. So power is always with you. You speak from power. This one is not like when you fast, you are more holy. It's just that we just want to hear better. Just clear the noise. You understand? You're only fasting to remove roadblocks, not to increase power. The power is resident. It's just that the pathway to flow is small. So you need to expand that power so it can flow. See, any religion that tells you God has a high opinion of you, spirituality enforces that. So when we put Jesus on the pedestal, guess what Jesus did? He said, you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He was on that place and invites us to come and sit with him. So he wasn't going to put himself there so that we don't come there. He was there so we can see where we belong. He was a reminder of who we are because Christ is God's expression. It's an example of us, not just for us. In Christ, we see what we are called to live, how we are called to live, what we are called to work. If you don't release the words, you are responsible for not releasing the words, not God. So we don't beg God. We speak from source.
Yes.
You are in this place, you want to attain. There's something to acquire. In this place, you are manifesting it. You already carry it. So the power is already inside of you. Change your relationship. Change your family dynamics. The word is there. It's waiting for your instruction. Religion cannot handle it. Religion will tell you, look for a powerful man of God. And I'm not taking away that they are graces. They are prophets. You need them. But I'm saying it that if that's all the paradigm you have, in such a way that you're not always able to stand for yourself, you made yourself a grandchild of God. And there are no grandchildren. We are all children of God. God did not say some people have more access to him. Even Jesus Christ, the part of the thing, he said, he tore the veil. So therefore, there's no mediator. And when Martin Luther woke up one day, he said, how on earth did we bring back mediator? And ask people to confess a sin? No. Forgiveness is not yours to beg. It's yours to collect. Yeah. Because in this place, God credited into your account endless deposit of forgiveness. Say, my sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. Blood was shed for me. See, that is the truth. It's not like it becomes truer when you give your life to Christ. That's the day you entered it. So in the definition of spirituality is awakening in the Christ in you and living from that Christ in you. So in this place, there is power, but there is also love. And that love means that God, you're a love creation. When God created you, you know what the Bible says? You're the apple of his eyes. Love needs something to love. Love by nature cannot exist in isolation. Every love to be felt, for love to be fully alive, love needs an object of expression. So perhaps God is even more alive when we are more alive in him. Because he leads us, he loves us, not because we complete him, but because his nature is to give. So that's why he credited, you are a recipient of all that God has deposited into your life. How did we believe for 1 second that the righteousness we have is not the righteousness we create, it's one we receive? It didn't stop there. Everything in Christ, you received it. Even the faith you used to receive salvation was his faith. The gospel did not come demanding faith. The gospel came supplying faith. Love was not something that God demanded of you. He put it there. Everything you have is given. Success is there. Greatness is already written inside of you. The question is, when you come into the consciousness of being from your heart, you begin to express it, but your head tells you that there's a programming of unworthiness. That's why Jesus gave one dangerous scripture. He said, see, for you to enter this kingdom, you have to leave your mother and leave your father. Have you seen that controversial scripture? Yes. Did he not tell us to honor them and take care of the old? How on earth are you telling us to leave them? You know what he was telling you? He was actually telling you to leave the conditioned mind. Because there is the parental conditioning. Before there's societal conditioning. And our parents conditioned us in fear. Now today, I gave my life and gave my life and gave my life and gave my life. I lost count. In fact, the last time I tried it, I just realized the pastor was played me. This particular day, he said, I can see hands. More hands. I just thought, okay, let me try and just, you never know, right? That was how I came out. I was the only hand. I didn't know the others were angels. And you know, all those Aproko ushers will come and tell you, the man of pastor wants you. I said, no, I'm my life is given already. It's here. They said, I'm rededicating the life. They said, you know, you still come out. It's you. So that day, as I was coming out, the pastor said, now welcome the soul the Lord has need of. And I said, God told me it's you. You understand? And that day, the next time I was in church, the pastor now blamed us for the people that didn't come. He said, church is not full today. Are you caring for people? Are you looking for them? You understand? So my whole point is this. In this particular world, you have to operate by rules. Here is relationship. And God did not present us in a way other than relationship. That's why I don't know when we can have this teaching on the Christ-like God. See, Jesus said from the beginning, the Word was God and the Word was with God, right? What that means fundamentally is Jesus was God's self-disclosure. Jesus was God's self-introduction. Jesus was God's own self-revelation. So everything that he said of God is true of God because he knows him the most. And he actually said that you must approach God as a father. In this particular place, the dimension of thinking you have is more what I call a servant master. So you are serving God. I'm serving the living God. Amen. Serving the living God. I am serving the living God. And that song, you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. They are broken theology. They stopped on Good Friday. May your theology not stop on Good Friday. Amen. Resurrection is that you resurrected with him. And in that resurrection, you were the trophy. So if you're saying that, Lord, may I decrease that you increase. Yes, it's a powerful prayer, but it's a John the Baptist prayer. In the new believer, Christ expands in you and you expand. God does not profit from your reduction. He profits from your fullness. That's what he wants you to be. So yes, the only thing that can reduce in you is your false self. And that false self, one thing we never learned, once you get born again, the first person to evangelize to is your false self. That conditioned mind, yeah. You have to parent it to it to give you trouble in life. That false self is like a child. I don't know if we need to teach you how to relate to it. There has to be a dynamic relationship with your false self. Because that false self is waking up in the morning, remind with problems. Say, are you just waking up?
Don't forget that that thing has not been solved. The false self is a conditioned mind. That's what he meant when he said the voice of your parents. You must leave them behind. The greatest damage to the Christian today is the conditioned mind. Because the conditioned mind is incapable of unleashing the fullness of Christ in you. We are called to transition from the conditioned mind to the Christ mind. And in that Christ mind, there is fullness of God. All that you need is already inside of God. It's already inside of you. So move away from rules. So relationship, God is your father. Move away from performance to presence. I was actually telling somebody recently that, you know, some of us are addicted to living in the future. Only you, you're planning masters in 2025. What if the world don't end? Trumpet can't sound. So only you're still living in back in university days when you were hot. When you were hot, you were moving stuff. My point is that don't let your lives be stolen by the past, or don't lose it to the presence. Be present. Be now. This is all there is. God is in the moment. God is not waiting for you to come to the future. No. Your heart is only responding to the moment by moment. So if you ask, well, who will I marry? In that moment, your heart just knows that this is where I want to be. Live in rest. Abide. Presence means what the people you're doing life with, are you even present to them? Are you conscious to them? Are you be able to spot the cracks in their faces? Can you smell? Can you see when people are carrying burden around you? Or you're so much in the future, absent-minded. And now people tell you ADHD is a condition. I'm a multi-potentialite. Let's not normalize the conditioned mind. It's not who you are. We're called to swim deeper into the spirit. I can't get into what it means to live in the heart and how you see that. Maybe next week, Sunday, or the next week, we'll talk about the heart-led life. It's so beautiful. Your life will truly transform if you learn to live from the heart. There is never an absent day of peace. The heart is a treasure. It says there's treasures in 18 verses. We're talking about the heart is a treasure. See, the heart, there is everything you need in your life is already in your heart. God says that guard it, because out of it comes the issues of life. You have to live from that place of presence. Your heart knows love. Your head doubts it. So any day your head comes and says you are unworthy of God's affection, your heart says, I am the one whom the Lord loves. You must speak your heart to your head. You must learn to trust the Holy Spirit guiding you. The mind of Christ is known by the mind of love. I'll take 3 questions and then we'll do our prayers, and by next week we'll dive. So guys, like I said, many people are walking away from religion because they feel stuck. And one of the things is that religion is not about pointing you to the person that is alive in you. Religion is about pointing you somewhere else. Religion focuses on the finger, but you are the very place where Christ dwells. Any religion that does not tell you become because Christ is. He said, as he is in this world, so are we. Guys, I don't know what you've believed all your life, but I'm enjoying this life. I'm taking on things that are so big for me because I trust the one who is carrying me. You understand? My life is an adventure because I understand who I carry. I can't settle for less. I can't begin to just think that this is all there is. If you don't settle, the Spirit calls us to adventure. This false sense of safety and security is not of the Spirit. If anything, the Spirit makes you, he calls you into the unknown. The addiction to worry is not of the Spirit. Your addiction to safety and security and comfort zone is not of the Spirit. He shatters it. When your life is powered by the Spirit, it will become an adventure to you and to the world. Because God is the one at work in you, seeking to experience the world. And if you permit him, the world will experience God through you. So we can no longer begin to box ourselves into the ancient ideas of the conditioned mind. Men who could not even imagine the world in which we live. There is a false Christianity that many of us have bought into that is about God is not in man, God is not happy with you. Those are lies. The way God was in love with Jesus, so is he in love with you forever. So that is the theology you must settle for. Yes, he died, but he resurrected, and we resurrected with him. That's the theology you must uphold. You have to move from worries to rest. Move from perfection. This idea, I want to be perfect, is not of God, though. This, I want to have it all together. God is in the process. And you must give yourself the freedom to grow. Don't have a fixed mindset. Have the growth mindset. That's what the spirit is. The religious mind has a fixed mindset. And the beliefs of the religious man is his bane. The spiritual man doesn't hold anything too tightly. Because your God is inviting you steadily. One day he told Peter, kill, eat. At the end of the day, Peter was saying, how would you call this unclean? He said, I call it clean. Because to the religious man, he's living in the present truth. There is something called the manifested presence, not just the omnipotent presence. But he's omnipotent, he's everywhere. But the most powerful place is the manifested presence that God chose to dwell in you. See, God is seeking to minister to the next person. But if you're not present to the one that is present in you, what will you hear to say? You can't run your business on the mind. It's incomplete. It cannot give you. We are called to be powered by the life of the Spirit. The well water garden keeps flowing. You become a garden. You become like the tree the Lord has blessed. Your life becomes like a tree planted by the rivers of water when the Holy Spirit powers your life. Two questions.
So mine, I'll start with the question. The question is, how do you know the difference sometimes between what is inspired by the Spirit, what's something in your heart that is inspired by the Spirit, and something in your heart that is inspired by your own reasoning and your own putting things together? I'll give a classical example. So I'm known for being a little bit unorthodox, sometimes in a way that could just get me into trouble. There was a time in my job search that I wanted to do something really crazy. I'm not going to say it here because I'm embarrassed. IK kept me from doing it. But that was in my looking for a job. In another instance, I think, okay, I'm going to say this one no matter how it sounds.
You might not want to say it. So the question is that you get unorthodox. How are we sure that this is not you being eccentric?
Yes.
That is the spirit at work in you.
Exactly.
Who gave you your personality?
God did.
And I think God understands that he gave you the eccentricity. Your purpose is tied to eccentricity. The day you become ordinary or you stop following the instincts, you settled for somebody else other than you.
Yeah.
But then you need wisdom, right? Because the wisdom part is actually you staying on the word and cultivating that relationship with the Holy Spirit. You know, but many people don't understand. They're always looking for a word of wisdom. They don't understand the wellspring of wisdom. Yeah. So you're meant to be powered every moment. And then Philippians 4:8 helps us. Because Philippians 4:8 becomes a layer through which filter our thoughts. He said, whatever things are true, please give me that scripture. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are true, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be place. So at the end of the day, you want to do something. Yeah. Are you being powered by the motive to be accepted or to be liked? Then you have to ask yourself the question, why am I going this eccentric? Right? You once you begin to process it and you find that what is powering you is a traumatic need for acceptance, you know that that's not the path the Holy Spirit takes you on. We must understand that we're all on a journey of healing. So your traumas will speak as loud as his spirit, sometimes louder. So we cannot always hear him in the feelings alone, because sometimes feelings will tell you, that's how I be your mode ago. You know, one guy posted once, he said, if the thing won't go, do it. That's how the world says it. I think it was Carl Jung or something. He said, if you can't go, do it. But that's not the Christian way. We say subject every feeling to the knowledge of the gospel. See what it says. A time will come. No, give not this one. Philippians 4, verse 8. So every thought that comes, you ask yourself, is this true? So what is truth? Truth is actually Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So how would Christ process this? For instance, some example, no few works here, but just imagine, you know, in Nigeria here, you know, somebody just does something. The first is, I go land you slap. You know, now Christ didn't land slap, although he flogged. He flogged. I don't know which one is worse. But, you know, at the end of the day, apart from that, yes, it was righteous anger, righteous indignation. But my point again is that, but he didn't go around slapping everybody now. You understand? Like that guy that was doing, he's a presenter on radio. They put a video where the guy don't slap like 10 people. You understand? He's interviewing them. He has slapped. And I'm thinking, no, he was doing a good job. But the man is traumatized. For you to be slapping people on interview, where you keep the money? I stiff up. You understand? And human rights lawyers now sued him for human rights abuse. Yeah, I don't know whether the case is still in court. Be landing slap all over the place. So people now said, Abeg, why are you going to interview Buhari for us? Guys, you know Nigerians. But see, for the rest, brethren, says, whatever is true. So keep in mind, as you face your day, week by week, whatever is true, you don't do anything to get people's acceptance, quite frankly. So those are not the truth of you. See what it says, whatever is worthy. See, some activities are not worthy of you. Actually, some thoughts are not worthy of you. Those thoughts that put you unworthy, beneath, they're not worthy of you. You carry life of God. It says, and worthy of reverence, and is honorable, and seemingly whatever is just, whatever is pure. So we stand for justice. The day you're in your office and people don't gang, say that girl will not have peace. The day you follow them, you don't know this thing. Because you carry the barometer for it, you must speak and say, no, this is not right. We cannot single her out and torment her. And Christians do that. Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think and weigh. Weigh means that, check. So some of us, let me not lie to you guys, they mistaught us. This idea that the Holy Spirit, you must wait for instruction. The Holy Spirit should tell you what to do is a robot idea. It is fallacy. Free yourself from those. You will wait forever and miss out on life. God didn't make robots. But the point again, the Holy Spirit is like a GPS. So he walks with you as you're making your decision. He's guiding you with it. So you don't want to say, I'm waiting. No. If you have an instinct to start something, start the business, start that stuff, ask her out. No, guys. No, ask her out. You understand? I don't know whether dating, don't asking now, don't turn proposal. It's a process. You are checking things out. The Spirit is guiding you. You understand? You're weighing it. You're weighing it and take account. You're weighing it and take account. And you're like, say, babe, where are you? I said, I don't want to be Nigeria. I hate Nigeria. And you know you want to be governor in Anambra. So clearly, somebody is not on your page. Yes, sir. So while you're on a mission, I don't think Nigeria is too hard for me. How will you govern Anambra from away? So at the end of the day, the point again is that you have to this genie in a bottle, this very, very superstitious thing where you feel like, I want to wait for the instruction of the Holy Spirit. I'm not knocking it off, but I'm saying that thing has caused more paralysis. Because there is a way we have forgotten that God made you with a will. And God wanted to make you someone that will make wise decisions, not someone that will become paralyzed waiting for an instruction. The instruction is woven into you as you're studying and you're leading. Your heart is being changed. You're making your decision. God's problem is not to give you decision. It's to remove the blocks to your heart so you can see. God wants to take away unforgiveness so your decisions are not powered by unforgiveness. And that's why we are called to forgive. It's because unforgiveness is a blocker. But God is not saying, so what are you going to do now? No, God shows up and says, what do you want to do? Lagos is waiting for you. What are you creating? God also does that. Sons do that. Any father that I say, you can't make any decision, wait for me, I'll tell you where to go. That man is a slave master. Run. Our father trusts. He's raised. See, Jesus will be going to Capernaum. The guy can't camp by this water side for one babe to pass. You understand? He said he camped by Samaria, by the wells, waiting to say, can I get a drink? You understand? At the end of the day, he understood that there was a moment of possibility where that woman will encounter God. You understand? He didn't say, disciple, when I give you 1 hour, they come. Like about Sean Teregerege. Go or stay. I know the yaw. Go or stay. He didn't do that too. You understand? Then I said, Peter, when I go, bless say, I never get released. Where I go or stay. No. You understand? Even when they come for healing, he didn't say, I want to be sure whether you'll be healed and be back. Lord, should I? Some people collect without permission. The one by the well just collected. Yes. See, you are a son. God is present in you. And he's fully present in you as he is anywhere else. And as he was in Christ. If Christ will speak to mountains and they obey, don't beg mountain. God trusts your instincts. The only person that is unable to trust yourself is you. Because too much religion has given you a false sense of who you are. You don't believe that you're creative, yet the source of creativity dwells inside of you. You're always, and then the fear, the consciousness that you do wrong will make you produce wrong. See, make love to the world. Pardon me. It's a word. Yeah, but you know, the idea is that let's show up with love the world. Let the world love you. No, when you show up with gratitude, the world is attracted to you. You understand? When your face is always squeezed, the guy go take off. Because in his own mind, I beg this one blessing alodo. You understand? He has issues. Lagos is hard already. So he needs some smile around him. The smile will do the job. I don't know what's that word. Take it. You understand? So at the end of the day, my point is, let's not paralyze ourselves. Just let the water of the Spirit wash you. Wash your fears, wash your doubts about yourself. And as you're studying the word is recalibrating your heart. Your decisions will be very much in line. You understand? No, the day God said, go some business, I say, Baba, no talk. I'm thinking this Abisa thing, and I have some girl around the corner that I'm liking. I need to tidy things up. God will agree. Yeah. Yes. The day you feel strong, one man, one prophet came and said, brother, tomorrow, arrange your house. And see, the man turned and said, God, I'm not coming. I'm not ready. Before the prophet go reach the door, prophet said, you know they go. Go back and tell him that I don't hear. Prophet, word scripture, word. But Holy Spirit is the Bible, those things are planted here to know that man can reason with God. God said, come, let's reason together. Yeah. When you get an idea that God is a slave master, he cares nothing about you, gives you all the... No, God is saying, what do you want to do with your business? You want to scale? Are you thinking Dubai? Are you thinking UK? He said, God, I'm thinking 5 continents. God said, oh, that's my son. Dominion. You understand? Don't say, no, Lord. Who am I? To dream big. Who am I? Cure yourself. That inferiority complex, God didn't put it there. Culture gave you. You were not born shy. You learnt it. You learnt it. You're not born weak. You learnt it. Come on. Understand? So unlearn it, though. The greatest path to spirituality is unlearning. Right. That's it. Because unlearning takes away the things that are already blocking you. If you know who you are, if you know who you are, you will never give yourself, you never see yourself as less. You're called to be, you can build that company. You can scale it. You can scale it. The point again is that see yourself through the eyes of God. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you will know God's calling for you and the deposit of God inside of you. Amen. Any more? Last question.
Praise God. So I would like to ask my question from the first question you asked. Yeah. One of the reasons why I stopped going to church was because I felt... more of the church within me. I felt comfortable that, oh yes, I have this discernment. I could hear very well from God. And I was so comfortable that yes, my spirituality is strong. But now my question is, how do I find balance between being comfortable, worshiping God from within in my space and not forsaking the gathering of the brethren?
Well, I think, yeah, it's a good one. I think it's a good place to end the sermon. You understand? So we can call some men back home. See, here is the interesting part. The expressions of God in our lives are on three levels. There is the intimate expression that we only experience him in our hearts, right? The second expression of God is in community. I'm a better person because I'm in community. I'm crazy. I'm actually crazy. Community helps me. You understand? You know, community helps me. There was a time too I wasn't doing church. You understand? Life was getting complicated. Life, even with church, is complicated. Some days I'll be like, oh my goodness, what kind of, oh Lord, save me, Lord. But the point again is that in doing community, you are being shaped like iron sharpening iron. So Toby brings a word, like Chinedu brought a word, Tobra don't care and go collect. May off, we no drop now, go see her. You understand? But no threat. No threat. You understand? But at the end of the day, there is that community where God, and the third level is expression, which is that after you're in community, how you contribute and express God, even in your job, your careers become platforms for worship. That even your places of work, we are not called to be pastors. Me, I'm not actually a pulpit guy like that. I'm a marketplace guy. I have some marketplace crazy ideas. I need to carry scissors and just scissors some things. Right? You understand? Because in that place, that's where you need, it's a mission field. So they're talking to somebody, you're signing deal, the person is telling you that, man, I just battle suicide. But you raise money at a battle lamb. You understand? Brother, there's some kind of race that can cure this thing. But let me give you, receive it! You know? So you have to impact. So don't deny the gathering because there is some beauty there. I know not all gathering are safe. And I think not all gathering are healthy, but we can no longer then, you have to just prayerfully ask God to help you navigate to a place where you can find love, where you can grow out of fear into wholeness. But you will, whether you find healthy or non-healthy community, it will always be messy because the human being, they're there. And then they work out, everybody's on a journey. So the day is, as you depart from another church, you go meet her. The first one that door is too short a skirt. You're like, what, did they just judge me? And they wrote no judgment zone. Did they just judge me? Both the person will judge you and you wear your shirt cut. You both of you are on a journey. You understand? So the judger and the judgee, both of you, as you figure it out. You know, so at the end of the day, some churches will stop you and say, take some scarf and let's help you here. But the heart is so dark that scarf is nothing compared to the heart. But the heart is already doing the work. You know, the scarf, so they help you and say, please call that brother. The Lord is not in the hair. The way the hair, I saw something dancing on it. It's like some manifestation. It looks like the shape of a demon. You know, I've seen some pastor cut hair and say, no, please get hold of him. No, Ghana. So guys, be dressed. Be careful where you go. If he's Ghana, Charlie, lock door. You know? And then, you know, those of a zealous usher, they cannot fold the hand of their pastor. They don't see where he won't go. He said, I know conscious now, pastor, they pass. They said, no, there was a word that this hair has to come down so he can enter destiny. They'll just shave you. If I've seen one where the pastor, they bath people, say, enter the basin. Let's wash you indeed. And anything people are doing, so not all community are safe. Some of them are actually just misguided. They actually think they're doing the right thing. That's why you need good theology. A theology that can root you in love and free you. You'll not be manipulated. Your head go correct. Yeah. Nobody can sell me. I choose to buy. You understand? Yeah. Nobody can sell me. Like, my head correct. I just choose to buy. You understand? So that's the way. When you get to that point, you are able to make decisions. You're not operating under fear. Fear is too programmed into you. Fear will make bad decisions. Sit back, cast it. You understand? If they say, you'll start with 5. No, 1.5. They say, how come? No, that's what I did. And it happened. Already told us here. He just called one ridiculous amount. And the company matched it. You're asking for too little. But that's not the only dimension, right? Even your relationship, bring Christ into it. Let them see you grow in humility. Christ apologizes. Come on. So if you're in a relationship, only you never apologize. They buy gifts. You understand? Say, I go package them. No, package it. Just say, I'm so sorry. You understand? No, that one, God dealt with me small. That was a little hard one to cross because apologies, you won't say, God bless, say, see you. Yes, sir. No, apologize. Both sides, so. You understand? You know your mouth runs faster than your spirit. So, that's not the only way. You don't run and finish, and the guy don't feel bad. You know, say, I'm so sorry. You know, I meant, I know my truth is like a lomo. It's okay. It's okay. But don't block up, say, why they carry face now? Because I don't tell that smart thing. You know, they talk your own. No, that's not how we settle it now. Christ will just, you know, be peaceable with all men. Yes, Toby, well done.
You can log on to thetribelagos.com or email us at hello@thetribelagos.com. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter on The Tribe Lagos. God bless.